That's an actual picture of Jesse. Do you have what in the military we used to call SA, situational awareness? I'm pessimistic about Americans in general. Out here in Colorado, hiking, you're out on the hiking trail. Are you aware of your surroundings? Everyday activities, people in the city. I mean, I'm a pastor, I shouldn't take perverse pride in that, but people walking through the city like this, they get run over because they walk out in the street. Or I think there have been recorded instances of falling down manhole covers, or people getting that selfie backing off a cliff. Are you aware of your surroundings? Another place I know Americans are not aware is driving. People have no clue. I mean, when I used to drive, I used to be the best driver ever. Now you don't want to be anywhere near me, but I think I'm still pretty good about seeing, we used to call that defensive driving, to see who's trying to kill you before you just blindly run into them. Or, one our stop down in Divide, people get T-boned all the time because the light's yellow for the highway. What does yellow mean? Speed up. And so as soon as the light turns green, people pull out into the highway, and the guy that's going to try to make that light doesn't and runs into the car. It can be even more important when you're flying. And back when I flew out in the middle of the ocean, you guys know what light pollution is. And we have a wonderful view of the sky here. But this is bright lights compared to the darkness of the ocean on a full moon. No horizon, no light pollution. And we had, at least in the Navy, what we would call, you'd be up there, there's nothing up there giving you any reference to the earth. And if you were over the ship, there were a couple lights on the ship, but when you were not near the ship, it was pitch black. And a lot of times pilots would experience what is called the leans, where you feel, note that word, feel like you're straight level, but you're not. Your plane is maybe in a bank and maybe descending, but you feel like you're okay. And we've had pilots actually corkscrew into the ocean because they know they're straight and level, they feel that way, but they have no reference. They are not aware of the danger that they are in. So what is the solution? Well, you've got instruments. I mean, when I was an instructor, trying to get the students to look at the instruments, if you've got a big window, hey, I could just look out that big window. Yeah, but what about in the clouds? What about when it's dark? That instrument, properly calibrated, of course, tells you your real situation. Are the wings straight and level? Are your nose up, nose down? Altitude, are you staying the same or are you descending or ascending? I would call that objective truth about the real situation. And if you had the leans, it would give you objective truth about your situation, your danger. And if you trust your instruments, to use a cheap metaphor, in the Navy anyway, trusting those instruments to get you safely back to the ship. What about in real life, for the rest of us in life? Things that eternally matter. A recent State of Theology survey from Ligonier Ministries is who did this, took a survey. Specifically, 64% of evangelicals, supposedly Bible-believing Christians, believe that everyone is born innocent in the eyes of God. 53% affirm that everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature. Well, hopefully we understand the Bible disabuses us of that notion. So what Calvin read in Revelation, and I'm not going to give the whole background, but the churches of Revelation are a good study, and there's lots of different views you can look at those. And just shameless commercial, back in 2014 and 15, did a two-year study on Revelation, which would give you in-depth context, exegesis, going through what the Bible says. But in Revelation 3:14 through 22, we come to the last church almost, and now we've hit rock bottom almost, Jesus might say. Because Laodicea was a very wealthy, materialistically, city. They were known for their black wool, so their clothing, very fine. They were known as a big medical center, and especially they had an eye salve, an ointment for eye diseases. Georgia! But they were also a banking center, so very, very rich materially. But they had bad water, and there were different water sources in some other towns. I'm not going to bore you with all that, but hot water in one place, which is hot water is useful for stuff. Cold water in a town called Colossae, was good for drinking. But Laodicea did not have. They had to pipe in their water. And by the time it got to the city, it was just lukewarm. So there's some historical context to this real church that, and some applications, of course, for us today. And the town of Laodicea, that comes, it's interesting that just that word in Greek means the people rule, democracy, the unwashed masses. We all get a vote. And so the idea then that Jesus is talking about as he's giving them condemnation, this church, they were worried about all this other stuff, but he actually says, I wish you were either cold or hot, not lukewarm. The word means tepid. And, why would Jesus wish that they were cold? Well, one very prominent view that, and I happen to agree with this, is if they're cold, at least they are openly, they would be unbelievers and know it and be proud of it. Openly rejecting Christ. Hot, of course, would be spiritual zeal, but instead they're tepid, lukewarm, and we might say they're hypocrites. They, they're not, they think they're in, but they're not, And a non-believing person at least knows and is proud, which is a tragedy, proud of where he stands. when it comes to salvation. But Jesus is talking that this lukewarm, the danger of that situation, not being aware of their situation. In Jeremiah 17, verses 9 to 10, Jeremiah's talking about blessing and cursing and the clear ways, you know, God's law. But what is the real problem? Verse 9 and 10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's a rhetorical question. Man in his fallenness, nobody understands the heart, the inside. You'll get a kick, the Old Testament word, the kidneys. That's the inner being. But who understands it? Only God, ultimately. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So the idea of not being aware, self-deception, we are quite capable of thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. And I think it was Oswald Chambers maybe said, you know, we are very good at judging others a lot harsher than we judge ourselves. In Proverbs, Solomon says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Self-deception. And this, you know, the biblical standard. We're not talking about the world's understanding of sin or causes, you know, whether the cause du jour is about, you know, whatever that, you know, we're all fascinated with. We're talking about what God calls sin. We are quite capable of not appreciating or recognizing our actual situation. So then what is the solution? Well, you guys know. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth, small w. God's word. That corresponds with reality. A lot of topics that we as humans like to think we know the answers to, but ultimately only God does, and his word points us in the right direction. Maybe not as in-depth as we want, but he does have the answers, because we can be prone to believe dangerous lies, you know, what seems reasonable to us. That's a dangerous word. False beliefs about things like spiritual reality. Gerard was talking this morning in adult Bible study about judgment. Does the Bible talk about it? Do people think there's going to be a judgment? Well, if those don't match up, who do you think is right? And so danger, false beliefs of the world can kill us. That's just not knowing the deadliness of our situation. You know, our reality, people without Christ, for example, you know, we may have what we think is a valid worldview, but when it's not built on God's word, it can be trouble. If you base your beliefs on anything else than God's word, it can be deadly. Not only physically, but spiritually, more importantly. That's for eternity. So like those instruments, I don't know, do Air Force planes have instruments, Gordon? I think Gordon, back in Gordon's day, it was dirigibles, right? Gordon looks about right to me. But like those instruments, the Bible gives us an accurate understanding of our real situation in this world and how to get, cheap metaphor, warning, how to get safely home. But God's, not only God's word, small w, but then of course God's word, the Bible, points us to the big W, word of God, the person and work of Christ. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Folks, in technical, logic language, that is a universal exclusive. No one will be saved ultimately apart from Jesus Christ. Now, how God does it in cases we don't maybe understand, okay, that's above my pay grade. But God is very specific that it's only through the Son that we come to the Father. Heaven, you might say. And so that is the only truth that saves from our situation. So the only truth that matters is the word, big W, Jesus, little W, Bible. They are those objective instruments that tell us what our real situation is. The Bible talks about a plumb line, a builder's, maybe Ben and Stacy need a plumb line, I don't know. But for builders, they used plumb lines to make sure walls were straight. And the Bible uses it just a few times, but the idea is God's standard of spiritual requirements and obedience to his law. There's a plumb line. The word canon, the canon of Scripture, is another word we don't use sometimes in its fullest sense. But the canon is the measuring stick by which truth, God's truth, not our truth, not what we want to be true, not what we misunderstand about God's word, but what God says, and most importantly, about Jesus Christ. You've heard this before, you're going to hear it a lot more, so buck up. Winston Churchill quote, "The truth is incontrovertible, can't be argued with. Panic may resent it." When people want to run around with their hair on fire, the person calmly dealing with the situation, people resent them sometimes. Panic may resent it. Ignorance may deride it. Things we don't understand, things we don't agree with, we make fun of, we deride. Malice may distort it, so outright enemies to the truth will spin another tale. But there it is. Cigar. But there it is. Endeavor to persevere. So my challenge, and as we close, what is your truth? I despise that term, but do you understand the truth? And there are people who believe their truth. They are sincere about their beliefs. But, you know, there is such a thing as being sincerely wrong. And, in this case, can be in sincere danger, a spiraling death. And the consequences are death. It's sort of like that picture. American aviation. Doesn't that speak to our culture? And learn to fly here. Is this outside your place, Jess? Yeah. So are you aware of your situation in temporal life? I hope you are. Otherwise, don't be driving when George is. She can't see. And are you aware of your surroundings? A lot of us are blissfully unaware. And sometimes, especially driving, I'm having driving horror stories now. And there can be a wake of destruction behind you. You know, and if you ever remember cartoons with Mr. Magoo, he's just happily driving along and everything's burning behind him. But when it comes to spiritual reality, we don't want to be that tepid, lukewarm. One word I've heard somebody once say, there are a lot of church people who have been inoculated with enough Bible talk that they think they're in. They don't understand their situation, that they are not. And there will be, as Gerard was talking about, judgment. There is, at least we agree that ultimately there will be judgment. I lost my train of thought, sorry. It was a brilliant point. Yeah. Well, like Jesus said, I'm sorry. Yeah. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this, this, and this? And Jesus will tell them, depart from me. You know, do we have a biblical situational awareness? And it's all for the greater glory of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, that plumb line, those instruments that allow such mundane things as keeping planes in the air, cars on the road. But we thank you for your word that gives us our real situation as sinners before a holy God, and then tells us of your unmerited grace that you pour out on such sinners so that we might spend eternity in heaven praising and worshiping you. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be more situationally aware in every aspect of our lives. In your most holy name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.